is greater far than tango pan can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest high and reaches to the lowest down. That guilty pair, oh, the guilty pair, bow down with care. Oh, God gave this time, oh, is there in, oh, is there in time, here it goes, I, oh, and pardon from, oh, is. O love of God, O love of God, O love of God, how rich and pure, oh, how measureless, oh, how measureless and strong, oh, it's out for. It shall forevermore and you, oh, the saints and angels song. Oh, when rory time, when rory time, oh, shall pass away. An earthly throne and kingdoms fall. Oh, when man who refused to bring on roads and hills and mountains. God's love so pure, God's love so sure, God's love so sure shall still. Oh, how measureless and strong. Oh, redeeming, oh, redeeming. Adam's reign, oh, the saints and him, oh, till song, oh, love of God, oh, love of God, oh, love of God, how rich and pure, oh, how measureless. How measureless and strong. Oh, it shall for, oh, it shall forever and you, the saints and angels. The ocean fill, oh, and with the sky of parchment made, where every stone on earth to quit, voice cry by dream. To ride the Lamb, to ride the Lamb of God, oh, will drain the old, oh, drain the old and dry. Oh, not cold as, not cold as grow, contain the old, oh, those rains from sky. Oh, love of God, oh, love, oh, love of God, our rich and pure. Oh, how measureless, how measureless and strong. Oh, it shall for it. It shall forevermore endure. The saints and it, oh, dear song.
Amen, friends. The holy time will pass away. All these earthly thrones and kingdoms fall. The prophet says, we are the great kingdom of Egypt now. 20 foot under the sand. All that's left is old monuments. Where's the great empire of Caesar? It's no more. Where's Nebuchadnezzar and his greatest empire of them all? The head of gold. It's passed away. But the love of God hasn't passed away. It stays the same. Let's read Malachi 3. We do greet everybody in Jesus' name this evening. So good to see people back. From here, then, everywhere. Wonderful. Malachi 3. Let's read verse 6. Just one verse. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Father, we thank you once again that we can open up the pages of your word. Father, we know your prophet says whenever you open the word, there's a vision inside for us. So, Father, won't you help us to get in the vision upon this day? Bless each person that is gathered. Thank you for song worship. Thank you for an opportunity for us to express ourselves unto thee. Thank us. Thank you for gathering us once again in your house. Thank you for bringing us safely through this week. Thank you, Lord, Father, to see our young people back safe and sound. Father, to see Sister Lydia once again. Brother Vlad, it's so nice, Lord, Father, in your house again this weekend. Oh, Father, we thank you. Praying for your people that are here and there. Brother George and his family, bless them on their holiday. Thinking of Brother Mike, his family, bless them as well. Oh, Father, how we need thee in these kind of hours, in these days. Now, Father, as we open up your word, we want to fellowship with you. Father, we know it's only your spoken word bread that makes the difference. It's only the Shekinah bread that our souls can feed upon that's going to give us what we need to overcome whatever it is that we're going through. So, Father, we come to sit at your feet upon this day. And, Father, we just lift our cup unto thee and say, we lift it up to you, Lord. Fill our cups. We lift them up. Father, feed our souls as we look unto thee. Be glorified, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. You may be seated. Just going to take something here from the message the prophet preached. He preached it twice, the unchangeable God. And he uses that scripture, I am the Lord and I change not. And he says it in this message, which is the 1961. He says, so you see, we must make God real, unchangeable. That's a serious thought. He says, we must make God real, unchangeable. God is unchangeable. But to us, you know, there's a devil, there's our own things that we go through. Now, there's so many things that we desire to come and speak to us, to try to make us think that God is not unchangeable. You know, that maybe God was so faithful to you in the days of your youth. Maybe you met him in such a real way. Maybe you had such a wonderful time then. But you're saying, but where's God now? You know, many times we can think those kind of thoughts. You can look back in the Word and you can see certain things in the Word. And you say, but I've never seen that in my own life. No, and you start to think, but why is that? Well, the real answer is God is unchangeable. That God is unchangeable in His essence. He's unchangeable in His ways. Now, He'll never change. But it's we are the ones that change. That's how the prophet says, we must make God real, unchangeable. He says, every soul that comes to God seeking salvation or healing. So if you're seeking something from the Lord, He says, it's got to come on those basis. He's got to come believing that God is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So as we'd seek Him tonight, that is the only basis that you can approach God. Now, if you approach God with a critical eye, you're going to find plenty of things to criticize. If you're going to open the Bible with a critical spirit on you, you're going to find plenty of things to feed your criticism. If you're going to come with doubt or unbelief, you know, there's going to be plenty of things that are going to feed that. But the prophet says the right mental attitude towards any promise of God, to approach God's promise, to approach God the right way, you're going to get something. It has to happen. It'll happen every time. The prophet says, did not our Lord Jesus say, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's a real promise. So whatsoever things that you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. So if we're approaching God on that basis, there's no way God will ever turn anybody down. He goes on to say, now, Jesus said also, ask the Father what you will in my name and you'll receive it. So if you're approaching Him and you're asking Him something in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're coming on that basis to the Lord. You know that He's unchangeable. We've been singing about His essence, the love of God. You believe that He cares for you. You believe that He has the best in mind for you. His thoughts, His purposes, He says, I know the thoughts that I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. No, so that's who you're approaching. And then you're coming unto Him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet says that is infallibly the truth. And there's nobody that ever asked God anything but what God gave it to them if they came with an honest heart. Amen. So if you come with the right motive, the right objective, you know, if you are just asking this, whatever you're putting before the Lord, you're coming to ask with that motive, that objective, that you want to please Him, you want Him to be glorified, you desire this so that you can do His will, that you can establish His purpose, you whatever it is, you know, that there's the right motive and objective behind it. The prophet says, he says, coming with an honest heart. Whenever you come with an honest heart, he says, there's nobody that ever asked God anything. You know, we sent around a little thing the other day. You know, different people had sent it around about, you know, sometimes when you ask God, God says, wait. Sometimes when you ask, He says, no. You know, there's different ways that God can answer as well, but He always knows what's best. But if you and I approach God this evening with an honest heart, you know, and our motive and our objective is right, we're in the line of duty, we're desiring whatever we're asking Him, not to, you know, something which will establish us as somebody, but something that will establish Him as the great somebody, every single time you're going to receive it, the prophet says. He says, now the thing of it is, God gives it sometimes in the way that we're not expecting it. Now, this is where the great thing comes in prayer. We read these quotes once before. So I wanted to read these few and then go on to the next message in a different way. But it's so, such a blessing the way the prophet speaks of that. He says, whenever you approach the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you put a petition, a prayer before Him, He's going to answer you. But He may answer you in an unexpected way. Because friends, He knows what's best. He knows the best way to answer us. He knows the best time to answer us. He knows the best place to answer that particular request. But it's impossible that you come before Him with an honest heart. You lay your petition honestly before Him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not walking in willful disobedience. You're not trying to, you know, seeking this for your own lusts. But you're just coming with an honest desire before the Lord for His glory so that you can be better established in His kingdom, so He can minister you further in your calling, so that He can bless your family, bless your people, you know, whatever it is that you're seeking from the Lord. If you're coming with an honest heart, that prayer is stored up in heaven. Amen. That prayer is not forgotten. That prayer is heard. That prayer is accepted every time that you pray it. And you'll know there's a certain type of prayer when you pray that God hears that prayer. Because there's a quickening in the prayer. There's the Holy Ghost in the prayer. It's not just words. There's other times you try to pray and you struggle. It's just your words. Your mind is somewhere else and you're saying certain words from your mouth. But there's certain times that you get to a certain place and you get down to business with the Lord. And you bring something before the Lord. And as soon as you pray that prayer, you know that prayer has been heard. It is. And God has heard that prayer. And that prayer is recorded up in heaven. When the angel came down to Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, he said, Cornelius, your prayers and your alms have been come up before God as a memorial. You know, so although he had been praying for some time, he hadn't maybe received the answer, Cornelius, for what he was seeking the very day that he first started praying. Just as much as Nehemiah when he set his face to see God, Daniel when he set his face to see God. Something happened in the heavenly places as soon as they prayed. And they could sense it. You know that something struck heaven. But now you have to leave the answer in the hands of the one who's wiser than you. Now you have to leave the results of how he's going to answer that prayer. How he's going to get the answer to him. That's what the prophet's saying in this message. He says, God gives it sometimes in the way that we're not expecting it. But God always keeps his word. Jesus can't say, ask anything in my name, it shall be given to you. And that's a lie. But people make it a lie. Yeah. We can make that into a lie. He says, ask anything in my name. Now, friends, you can't ask for $1 million or €1 million to spend on a Ferrari in his name. You can't. That's in your own name. But Jesus is saying, if you ask anything in my name, anything that you can ask in his name, and you bring it before the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's for his glory, it's for his kingdom. He's going to answer it. He can't lie. We can't make him into a lie. He never lies. And that's why sometimes it's real good to keep a prayer list. Sometimes it's good to write down your petitions that you've really put before the Lord. And then maybe at the end of the year, go back and see the faithfulness of God. Because there's so many times you'll answer your prayers and you don't even recognize that he's answered your prayer. So many times. So many times, because when he comes and answers, he sometimes answers in an unexpected way. Or in an unexpected time. And you weren't expecting the answer to come in that way. That's what the prophet says. He says, there's no way for God to tell you anything and lie about it and remain God. You know, there's another quote. Somebody sent it to me a while back. I really liked it. The prophet says, if you throw the word in the path of God, he says, God can never step over his word without fulfilling it. He says, whenever you get in trouble, whenever something's going on, throw the word into God's path. When it seems God's going to pass you by, throw the word into his path. Say, but Lord, you said. Lord, this is the promise that you made. Because God cannot step over his word and remain God. God cannot fail to be faithful to his word. He cannot fail because he's God and he changes not. The prophet says, he must keep his word forever. It's the truth. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know that in your own experience. You know that he's real. I don't think there's anybody here, hopefully, or maybe just one or two here today, that would doubt that he's real. Every single person here that's had a Christian experience, any single person here that's really, really met him, even if you've just got into prayer, you know that he's real. You know that he answers prayer. You know that he's faithful to his word. The prophet says, God always answers. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. But now, if we do not take it just the way that we think it is, we've built God as an idol. You know, those people that go and pray before their statues and the answer never comes and they want to destroy the statue afterwards. Now, you don't want to make God into an idol. You don't want to make God into the one that he must be the one that listens to us. Now, he must be the one that we dictate things to. The prophet says, he's got to answer just according to our ways, or we'll say, well, it's just no good. He didn't answer us. God answers in many ways. He answers in peculiar ways, times, and everything that's odd. Another place it says many times his answer is in disguise. Now you won't even know that that's the answer to your prayer. But you prayed and you put it before the Lord. You had faith when you prayed. You put it faithfully before the throne of grace. You know, that altar of incense was right before the veil. And just beyond there was the mercy seat, the Shekinah glory. And you'd come to that altar of incense, which represents prayer, intercession. And you would know, anybody that came to that place, the presence of God, the Shekinah glory, was just a curtain away from you. There's no person who could stand there if they were ordained as a priest, anointed as a priest, dressed as a priest, called unto that priesthood. And we are a nation of priests. That's what we're called unto, to be kings and priests. There's no way that priest, when he stood there and he put that incense on the altar of incense, that he didn't know. As the petitions went up to the Lord, as he made intercession, as the people outside in the hour of prayer waited for the incense to go up and then made their petition, there's no way that you wouldn't know inside of your soul that something had taken place supernaturally. There was a spiritual transaction that took place. Something settled somewhere. But the problem is now we want to now take it and put it to the Lord. And then afterwards you want to take it out of his hands now and say, but you never answered it to me the way that I thought. The prophet says, that's the way he answers our prayers, in the way that he thinks is best. And his way is always right. If you ask for anything and it doesn't happen just the way we think that God ought to let it happen, it makes us lose and fall back. You see, when we don't give him his position as God, those kind of prayers, they can weaken your faith. But if you really look back in your life, have a look back in your life. Has there ever been a time that you really sincerely went before the Lord and sought the Lord? Like the prophet says, and he didn't either answer you or reveal to you why he couldn't answer you. It's true. Any sincere prayer. I'm not speaking about the vain things sometimes that we ask in prayer. No, things that even when you pray them, you know it's not going to be answered. I'm speaking about when you really get down to business. When there's really something before you, there's something that you need to know, there's something that you need from the Lord, there's something in the way of your calling, there's something in the way of his purpose in your life. Now, there's something which is a challenge. There's something you need to understand. Be honest. Has God ever failed you? I can say he's never failed me. He's never failed me. He's never. Many times he'll say no. But he'll reveal it to you. Like when the prophet was praying that time to preach the trumpets and he was trying to find a place and couldn't find a place. And the doors kept getting closed. He says, then I got serious. I said, I went in before the Lord. He says, and I said, Lord, I don't have too much time, but Lord, I'm trying to do my best here. Why is it that we just can't get this thing to move? He says, then he came down and revealed it to me. And he says, the trumpets are for the Jews, they're not for the Gentiles. You know, so God, it seemed he wasn't answering prayer, but he was by closing the doors. Because he couldn't answer prayer to take a man out of his call, out of his commission. And I'd say, anything that you pray in the line of duty, anything that you pray for in the line of duty, something that challenges you, something that comes before you, he is going to answer. He hears that prayer. The prophet says it may come disguised. It may come in another way. It may come in a roundabout way. But no matter what way it comes, if we have asked, we shall receive. And to any genuine believer, put it to the test. You're not putting God to the test, but his word is true. And if you go, he says in Malachi, prove me, saith the Lord. That's not testing the existence of God, but you can prove the faithfulness of God. You can prove it for yourself. That you know that he's faithful, that you know that he's true. And that those prayers, like he says, every one of your tears is bottled up. He doesn't forget. Even he says in Malachi, he says those people that gathered together when there was a lot of gossiping and backbiting and all the things that people were saying in the book of Malachi, saying, you know, what good is it to serve the Lord? You know, the wicked, they're the ones that prosper and so forth. Is there any profit in serving the Lord? He says, but those that feared the Lord, they gathered together and they fellowshipped around his name. And God heard it said. And it was recorded in heaven. Even that genuine fellowship that pleased the Lord. Friends, you can't have fellowship that pleases the Lord and you don't know it. Because when you have fellowship that pleases the Lord comes down. That's when he fulfills where two or three are gathered in my name. Because you're doing it in His name. But if you're backbiting, you're criticizing all those, you can't do that in His name. So He's never going to come down. But in Malachi it says that He's those, they shall be recorded in My book. He says, and I will remember them in that day. That when the enemy would come in, there were going to be certain people delivered in Israel. And there was a reason when you could go back. And God so much paid attention to the things that they were saying. How much more when you set your face to seek Him with prayer? Like Daniel, when he says, I set my face to seek the Lord my God with fasting and supplication and prayer, and I made my confession. And I confessed my sins and the sins of my father's house. And then Gabriel came and said, O thou man greatly beloved, from the moment that you first set your heart to seek the Lord, your prayer was heard. And I was sent, but the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. There was spiritual warfare. You know, God had to move certain things to get the prayer answered. You know, move situations and people and whatever it was that the prince of Persia was withholding. But from the moment that he set his heart, his prayer was heard. The prophet says that. He says, let's look at Moses. He said, what if Moses had have said, imagine Moses by the burning bush, I prayed for God to make me a military man. You know, Moses might have done that. The prophet speaks in this message about how Moses' mother would tell him of his calling and his predestinated purpose and so forth when he was a young man. He had such a good mother. His mother would sit and tell him, you know, Moses, you were born for a purpose. There was a supernatural something at your birth. His mother would take the promises that God gave to Abraham that your people shall be so many generations in Egypt and then I'll deliver them with a mighty hand. You know, she could take all those promises and Moses, looking at all those promises and all those kind of things, you know, he made up his mind in his own life how God should answer people's prayers. People have been praying for 400 years for deliverance. All those prayers were being stored up in heaven. But God had His way. God had His time. God had His place that He had ordained to answer all of those prayers. And that didn't correspond with the way that Moses thought God should answer his prayer, their prayers. Moses looked at it and he thought, when I was a military man, when I had a spear in my hand, when I had a sword in the sheath, when I had all these armies under my command, surely if God was ever going to answer prayer on my behalf, that was a time that He was going to answer prayer. But God answers in an unexpected time. In an unexpected way many times. He doesn't answer the way that we think that situation should resolve itself. That's why when you pray, don't make up your mind how the situation should be fixed. Or how God should minister to your needs. Because by doing that you limit God. By doing that, when He comes and answers His own way, it weakens your faith. Because you look and say, but God didn't answer. God hadn't forgotten all the prayers of the people. But God had to send that same man who was the answer to all of their prayers. He wasn't ready yet. So God was storing up all those prayers, hearing the groans of His people. Then He had to take that same one that was discouraged, thinking that God didn't hear his prayers. Take him to the backside of the desert. Prepare the vessel there for 40 years. Then in God's time, when it was the best time, when it was the right time, God came down in an unexpected way. In an unexpected place. At an unexpected time. But the prophet says that Moses would have said, I prayed for God to make me a military man. Here he is in a burning bush. Now what good is this prayer answering God going to do in this kind of a form? Now the way that our human mind can sometimes look at things. The prophet says, it doesn't make any difference how God appeared to him, just as long as God appeared. Amen. Friends, it doesn't matter how he speaks to you, just as long as he speaks to you. Amen. It doesn't matter where it is, who it is, how it is. When God speaks to you, pay attention. Be like Moses. You know, take off your shoes, approach it, because God is dealing with you. This is His provided time. This is His provided place. And friends, God answers and speaks to people in the most unlikely of places. And if you're not careful, you'll miss that visitation because you won't recognize this is the answer to your prayers. That God is visiting you with the very answer to all of your hopes and dreams and ambitions like Moses. He wants to come and fulfill them in that season. Amen. But he came down, and the good thing about Moses, he recognized and he turned aside and he gave it full attention at that time. The prophet says that's all that matters. As long as God comes and answers, and as long as we recognize it to be God. As long as we recognize it in our souls, you'll always recognize that it's God. Because my sheep hear my voice, but it's the mind. It's the greatest battle ever fought. Now surely if God was going to answer me, it would be like this. Surely if God was going to answer, this would be happening. Surely, friends, you've got to be careful of those things. Because the devil will come and speak you right out of the will of God. He'll speak you right out of a visitation that God is giving to you. If you allow your reasoning to kick in like that, and you start dictating terms and conditions to God of how he must deal with you and how he must deal with your situation. Don't do that. The prophet speaks about it now in the other message. He takes it in this one's unchangeable, God working in an unexpected way. He takes it in a slightly different way here. He says, look at Moses. This great old sheep herder here. He was already 80 years old. He says, God never came down to him through a sermon, but he came in a burning bush. You see, an unexpected time, an unexpected place, an unexpected way. God met him not even in church, but under a mountain. And friends, the vast majority of times that God visited people in the Bible were not in church. Go and have a look in your Bible. The vast majority of times when God would come personally in answer to the prayers of people to make himself known, it was in an unexpected time, an unexpected place. Now you and I think when I'm in church, this is where God's got to meet me. He may meet you in the car on the way home. He may meet you when you're walking tomorrow down the street. That's what he did to Moses. Moses wasn't in church. He was sheep, looking after Jethro's sheep. God can meet you at work. He can lay a burden on your heart and you shut yourself in a certain place and he'll come and meet you right there. Amen. It can be unexpected, but he knows what he needs to do. He knows the place. The prophet says, he met him not even in church, but under the mountain. He says, and so, these witnesses that we see, Hebrews 11, many places in the Bible, those heroes of faith are those who stayed with God's promise. So just stay right there. No matter what anyone else says, God will grant it to you in his own good time. The most important thing is to keep that promise as the spoken word bread. Keep it. Keep your soul in the right atmosphere. Keep feeding upon the promise of God. Don't put conditions on him. Just keep resting upon that promise. Keep fellowshipping around that promise and just wait for him. He knows how to answer it. The prophet says he might do it at an unexpected time. You say, well, Brother Branham, I've been working hard today. You know, I'm a little bit tired. I haven't been feeling good for 3 or 4 days. And we think to ourselves, hey, the way that I'm feeling, God sure ain't going to do anything for me today. But friends, look in your testimony. Are those not normally the times that he does something for you? When you get to the end of yourself, when you're just feeling it, I'm just so tired. I don't even feel like going to church today. I don't feel like going and visiting brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. I don't really feel like praying today. And you just get yourself in the closet and you get on your knees and you find that was an unexpected time, an unexpected place. And that's many times how God meets with his people. The prophet says that might be just the time. It says, you see, you never know when it's going to happen. How many times could I stop and for days tell the experiences when I go to the woods to seek the Lord that the briars scratch me, the thorns, and the birds annoy me and the mosquitoes bite me. That's just when God is fixing to do something just then. It normally gets really out of control just before God steps in. It normally gets even worse until if you're not careful, if you're not under expectation, waiting to see how God is going to answer your petition, you're going to think, but what is the purpose of praying? No, you'll fast this week, it'll get worse next week. Amen. That's the way it always works. Amen. You'll decide, I'm going to fast and seek the Lord. You're going to wake up tomorrow with such a headache. Amen. You'll wake up with such a runny stomach that you think, but I can't fast today. No, it's like that. You go to church or you listen to a message, it'll so build up your faith. And watch what happens the next day, how the devil comes to give you a good kicking. Amen. It has to be like that. That's the way that it works. The prophet actually gets onto it later on. He says, just when something seems all unexpected, then God takes place and takes a hold. Our friends, it's a real sweet thing. Now you go back in your own testimony, I was thinking of this, of many things in my own experience. Times when God reveals his strength in your weakness. He says, when you are weak, then I'm strong. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So when we all strong and we all making it that God is going to answer me now, he doesn't normally answer. Most of the time, he knows the right time. I remember when I was in Pentecost, there was that minister David Wilkerson who wrote The Cross and the Switchblade. And he wrote this one book and I read it. It was called Jesus and Storms. I never forgot. And he says, you know the way that Jesus normally works with people? He says, he's like his disciples. He told them, get in the boat, go across. They got in the boat. Then came the storm. And he allowed the storm to get so dark and the winds to blow so strong. And he waited until that boat was about to be swamped, until all hope was gone. Then he came walking on the water. And he says, God, in his visitations, he normally knows how to visit people to get the maximum impact in the life of a person through that visitation. Because friends, when everything is going well inside of your life and God visits you, it's not so powerful to you. But when you're like Job on the ash heap and everything is against you and it's dark and you can see the grave is just ahead of you, and then he steps down into that situation, you are never going to forget that for the rest of your life. That is going to put such an imprint in your spiritual experience that you'll never be the same. That's why Job said, oh, that my words now were penned in a rock with an iron pen. He said, I never want to forget this, for I know my Redeemer lives. And friends, that's the wisdom of God. Now we think, like the Hebrew children, surely, I'm going to pray. There's a law being passed here. No man, if you don't bow down to this image, you're going to be cast into the fiery furnace. So everyone got together and said, we're going to pray. God's going to change this decree. And then God didn't change the decree. And then they thought, it's okay. You know, we're going to pray that they're going to get busy. Maybe there's going to be a war and the king's going to get busy somewhere else. They're going to forget about this decree. There was no war and nobody forgot about the decree. And then it came to the showdown tomorrow. Everybody has to bow down. And the prophet says, when those Hebrew children got there the next day, maybe Shadrach said to Meshach, I hope you prayed through last night. But they were waiting for God to deliver them. And they must have thought, surely something's going to happen. Here's the fiery furnace. And the prophet says, they were coming right. They could feel the flames. They could feel the heat. God still doesn't answer. That's the real test, friends. That's the real test. And then they were right in the fire. And then God answered. And what an experience until the king himself issued a proclamation saying, all my kingdom should worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because there's no other God like this. God knows the best way, the best time to answer. He knows the best way to get the maximum virtue, the maximum impact, the maximum revelation, the maximum benefit to you. And to those that are going to benefit from that testimony, he knows the best time to do it. But so many times we step out of it before it gets there. Because we look at the circumstances getting worse and we think, but the harder that I pray, it seems the less that God is answering. The harder I pray, the more the skies are like brass. That means nothing. That means nothing. Just keep feeding on the Shekinah bread. Just keep feeding on that something that gives you still the spirit of expectation. That you think, I don't know how this is going to work. If it was me, I would have answered a long time ago. But this isn't me that I'm praying to. This is God that I'm praying to. He knows how to answer. And that's how the prophet says, he says, look at Jacob. He said he was running. He says, what a great lesson for us all. He says, Jacob, he wasn't even expecting to meet God that day. Imagine. He was just desperate. He just went out there to pray that day, but he wasn't really expecting to meet God. He might have prayed before that. He did. Many times he would pray and try different things to get himself out of that situation. And he had prayed and he had prayed and he had prayed, and it seems that God wasn't answering his prayers. Because he hears that Esau is getting close, and then the messenger comes. Esau's coming with armed bands of hundreds of men with swords and spears and so forth. And he feared. The prophet says, God knows how to get a man. God knows how to get the job done. God had heard every one of his prayers. God had not forgotten a single one of his prayers. But God knew the right time to answer. Friends, sometimes God will answer you right in the hospital. Yeah. Sometimes God will answer you right when all hope is gone. And what a sweet thing that it is when the answer comes like that. He says that's a great lesson for us all. When you once get hold of something that's real, hold on to it. So Jacob, now in the midst of his distress, he started to pray and became a reality. He got a hold of something that was real. And the prophet says, be like Jacob in that situation. You just keep holding on to that something that is real. He says, don't turn it loose. No matter how many times the sun passes over, whatever takes place, hold on until you are blessed of it. Amen. Until you have the promise of it, hold on. And that's the key. That's the key. Jesus says in his parable, he says, kingdom of God, when he's teaching about prayer, he says, like the unjust judge. Listen, that woman would come and pray. That woman would come and knock on the door. That woman would come and bother him and ask and beg and plead. And it seemed like no attention was being paid. But there came a final knock. There's always the final knock. There came a certain place. Maybe she was just about to give up. And she just knocked that one more time. She had that perseverance. And she got the answer. The prophet says, Isaiah the prophet. He had things easy, but one day the king died. And Isaiah went down to the altar in the house of God. And while he was praying, he was caught between his own sins and the vision. Hey. He had prayed many times before Isaiah. But this was the time now where God wanted to change his ministry. Amen. This was a time now that God wanted to make himself really known in the life of Isaiah. The prophet says maybe he was fat from easy living. You know, he had got so lax relying on Uzziah the king. And God brought him into that situation. He was caught in an unexpected time, an unexpected place. Maybe he thought, I'll just go down and say my prayers. And get up and go on because people believe I'm a good preacher or something another. But he was caught there. Not only was he caught in this condition with the vision, but he was caught with unclean lips in the house of God. Hey. He had been praying. Maybe he had been praying, Lord, I'm dissatisfied in my experience. Now, Lord, I know you called me from the days of my youth. Lord, I want to serve you. But God knew how to get him into a condition. And he got caught with unclean lips in the house of God. The prophet continues to speak about him. He says, Israel asked for a mighty king, speaking about Jesus. He says, that's what they expected God to send them. They had it all fixed up that that's the way he was supposed to come. But what did they get? They got a baby instead of a mighty king. A baby born where? In a stable. Imagine 4,000 years of people's prayers were being answered. 4,000 years. The hopes of each generation, the prayers that had been stored up. God, send us a deliverer. God, restore us. God, send us eternal life. And God sent it in such an unexpected way. Unexpected place to the people. But it was exactly in line with the scripture. The prophet says he knows your needs. And he knows how to bring it to you. But the problem is, because it doesn't come the way we think it ought to come, we get all discouraged and you hand it back to him. This is like when Jesus came to the Jews, they handed him back. It's like when you take one of God's promises and you take it to yourself. God sends you one of his promises. And then you pray, you hold on to that promise, and it seems that he's not answering. You get discouraged. What do? You give him his promise back before you've seen it fulfilled. That's exactly the same thing that the Jews did. They gave back the very answer, the very promise that God had given to them. They never let it grow up so they could see the fullness of what it was. They gave it back. The prophet says, let's ask him and believe that he will send it just the way he wants to send it and accept it upon that basis. And I believe you can't do that if you don't know him. Amen. Now, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't know his nature. Because sometimes when it seems that God is not listening to your prayers, sometimes when it seems he's not bringing you relief just when you feel that you need relief, if you don't really know him, you're going to get like Israel. You're going to say, does God really love me? Is there really a God? Does he really answer prayer? That's why the prophet says you've got to know him and his nature. Amen. You've got to know him. You've got to know that, yes, I don't understand what's going on here, like Job in that situation. But in all of these things, Job sinned not with his lips. Neither did he charge God foolishly. That was a very powerful thing for a man to do with all that he went through. That Job, he never thought evil of God. He said certain things that were foolish when he got caught up, yes. But in his heart, he never charged God foolishly. Our friends, that's a great thing that we need to repent of when we do it. When we charge God foolishly, those times when you think, but God doesn't love me. What does he say? What does he say? He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. The Bible says God so loved even the world that he gave his only begotten son. But the problem is, where does it come in? We're focusing on our circumstances. We're feeding on our circumstances. We're feeding on the condition that we're in. We're not feeding upon the Shekinah bread. We're not feeding upon the very promise that he wants us to feed on until he fulfills it. And that's how after a while we get discouraged, we get tired. It's like, God doesn't answer. God doesn't care for me. And then you hear other people giving testimony of what God's done for them, and it makes you even feel worse. You say, but he answered that, brother. He answered that, sister. But he didn't answer me. Be careful of that kind of an approach. Be careful of thinking that God is changeable. Be careful of thinking that God can give you a promise and then not fulfill it. He will. But it's in his time. And it's in his way. And when he does it, you end up agreeing with him, Lord, this was the best way. Amen. This was the wisest way. You think of all the doors God closed in your life. Think of all the girls that you went out before you got married. Think of them. Think of you girls, all the boys you went out if you were in the world. And God made every one of those relationships fail. Because God had the real answer for you. Amen. He had the real answer for you. But each of those times, maybe in that situation, you were thinking, maybe if you were a believer and it didn't work out with somebody, you're thinking, but oh, God doesn't love me. You know, sister so-and-so, she got in courtship, it worked straight away, she got married. Brother so-and-so got married straight away. And you look at yourself and say, but why did it not work out for me? That's the tender hand of Jehovah. But you'll only understand it when his season comes for him to fulfill his promise to you. And then he has his time, he has his place, he has his way, he has the answer ready for you. And then when you receive the answer, you look back and say, Lord, how foolish I was. You say, Lord, how foolish that I was. And many times those very people that you were looking at in the world, or like when you were just before you came to the Lord and your things weren't working out and you looked at other people, how well things were going for them. You then become a believer. God establishes you, get married. Then you end up hearing those poor people who are divorced. Or it's a single mother or something like that. Those very people that you were envying, thinking, but hey, now this person's got a far better life than me. Friends, God knows far better than that. But he knows his season and he knows his time and he knows how to bring it. Not just to bring it to the what the prophet brings, the main point. He says, now, Moses, why would he doubt it? With all that had happened, even in his youth, with all the promises concerning what God had promised to do, with his calling that God had called him to, with all the testimonies that he had heard about his birth, and he could feel the call inside of his soul. The prophet says, what grounds did Moses have to doubt what God had spoken about him? And let me ask you the question, what grounds do you have to doubt? What grounds do I have to doubt? This is Moses. Why would he doubt? He was called at birth. Were you not called at birth? Exactly. Were you not predestinated the same as Moses? Exactly. We've been predestinated exactly the same as him. The same God whose hand was upon Moses in the days of his youth was upon you in the days of your youth. Even before you knew him. Even before Moses knew him, God was protecting him in the bulrushes and all that. God raised him up in Pharaoh's palace. All of the great testimonies that we read of in the Bible. That when all the rest of the men children were put to death, God had his eye upon this child. If Moses had just considered, just got in the spirit a little bit and considered what God had already done for him, Amen. He would have had no excuse to doubt. He would rather have been under an expectation, saying, I don't understand why this has taken longer than I thought for the promises to be fulfilled. But God doesn't change. I am the Lord and I change not. His purposes for me have never changed. It may not have worked in the time frame that I thought. It may not be working in the way that I think it should work. If it was up to me, it would have been 40 years ago when I smote that Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Surely my brothers should have accepted, recognized who I was. That's not the way that God wanted to deliver Israel. God didn't want to share his glory with people. God didn't want to share his glory with Moses. That Moses could show his muscles and his military might and say, you know, I delivered Israel. And that's where Israel's getting in trouble now because they're trusting in their military might. God's going to have to humble them greatly in the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation, for them to realize that it's not by power and it's not by might. He's going to allow them to come right to the brink of being destroyed by the beast, being destroyed when all those armies gather at the gates of Jerusalem for the battle of Armageddon. And then those two witnesses are going to come down and show that this isn't how God's going to deliver you. And they're going to be delivered by the power of the spoken word. But they would have tried everything of their own first. They would have tried all of their Mossad and all of their intelligence services, all of their special weapons, all of whatever they can do. And God's going to allow everything to fail. And they're going to think, the carnal ones, that there's no God of Israel. But to the genuine 144,000 in their souls, they're going to know, we don't understand what's going on here. But God is going to fulfill his promise. God is going to be faithful to us. Let's wait and see how he's going to do it. And then two old men are going to rise up, Moses and Elijah. And that's going to be God's way of delivering them. Without any weapons, without any military, without any of their intelligence, God himself is going to deliver them. And if God is your God, that's what he wants to do for you. You will try this, you will try that, it'll all fail. That's the grace of God. So that he can step in and say, look, I'm going to do it for you. Amen. And then it has the maximum virtue. Then it has the maximum testimony. Then it has the maximum impact in your life to love him more. To say, but God, you are good. But it normally comes in that kind of a time. He says, Moses, why would he doubt? He was called at birth. He was a baby when God called him. He was born in this world for a purpose. You were born in this world for a purpose. I was born in this world for a purpose. Which of us can doubt here today that? God has separated us from our mothers and our fathers. God has separated us from this generation. God has started a new generation with you and I. We don't follow the traditions of our mothers and our fathers unless they were believers. We don't follow those things. God separated you. God spoke to you the same way that he spoke to Moses. God separated you. God turned you around. God set you in a certain direction to fulfill a specific purpose. Because his hand has been upon your life. His call is upon your life. And you'll never get away from that call. Amen. And the prophet says, until you fulfill that call, you'll be the most miserable person in all the life, this world. But God's hand has been upon you. He says he was born a prophet. It ought not to be a hard thing for Moses to think that, something unexpected, because he ought to have been expecting God to call him. That's a serious one to think about. Moses should have stayed in the Spirit. Moses, despite his own disappointment with the way his brethren treated him, that had nothing to do with his call. That was simply to bring him to his call. But Moses in his life, he should have been meditating on the promises and saying, surely, God's time for calling me is near. God's time. I'm getting old here. My beard is long, it's gray. My whiskers have grown out. Surely one of these days God is going to call me. Because God doesn't forget the purpose that he calls somebody to. God, when he predestinates somebody, that will come to pass. And Moses should have been bearing that in mind. And friends, that's the same as us. We should be waiting expectantly for the next part of the call. Isaiah should have been the same, the prophet said. He shouldn't have gone there to the temple that day in the condition that he was, not expecting anything to take place. Because God had told him, I ordained you a prophet. He knew right from his youth that he was a prophet. So he should have been expecting in his life to say, there's a new ministry coming here somewhere. You know, I've served God up to the best that I can in this level. I've made my mistakes, whatever, but you know, I can feel there's more that God has ordained me unto. And when he went to the temple that day, he should have been under an expectation to say, maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day that God's going to meet me and, you know, take me to the next stage in my ministry. But he wasn't in that condition. But the prophet says, but he should have been in that condition. Because that was the promise to him. He says, Jacob, God had just spoken to him. A couple of chapters before, God had spoken to him when he saw Jacob's ladder and said, I'll never leave you. We saw it the other night. I will not leave you until I fulfill all the promises that I've made to you. And then God comes and meets him again and says to him, Jacob, don't fear. I'll be with you. Your seed shall possess this land. Now, God had personally spoken promises to him. The prophet says God had spoken to him. God had said, Jacob, return home. I'll be with you and multiply you. I will make your seed like the sands of the sea. Why was it so unexpected then? For God had come to him that night, Laban coming one way, Esau the other. Yet God had promised him. You know why it was unexpected? Because he was paying too much attention to what Laban was, and too much attention to what Esau was, and the armies and the weapons, and he forgot the promises. He wasn't feeding on the spoken word bread. He wasn't feeding on the Shekinah bread to keep him in a spirit of expectation, waiting to say, surely, any time now, God has made great promises concerning my life. God has a great purpose for me. Surely, any time now, God's going to come and do something for me. Because I've come to the end of myself. I can't go any further. But his purpose hasn't yet been fulfilled with me. And friends, that's the attitude we should be having here. We should be waiting under an expectation for God to come down for the next stage of the ministry. We should be feeling it inside of ourselves to say, it's okay. God's taken us through things that we had to go through. God's purged us of certain things. But now surely, where's God? The same God that called us, the same God that has brought us together, the same God that has commissioned us as his people. We should not be taken by surprise when he comes. Because he's going to come. Because that's his promise. He's going to do something for us, friends. He may come in an unexpected way, an unexpected time, an unexpected place. But there's going to be certain people like Simeon, on whom the Spirit was. They were waiting for the consolation of Israel. He didn't know exactly how it was going to come, but he just knew. The promise has said, I shall not see death until I see the Lord's Christ. Friends, that's what we should be. But these people had no excuse for getting so far out of the spirit of their call because of what God had already done for them, what God had promised to them. Let's not allow that to happen to us. Let's not get so full with Laodicea that we become like Isaiah, that we get spiritually overweight in that kind of a way, you know, in the wrong side of the spiritual world. He says, Jacob, why was it so unexpected? God had promised him. It says, there you are, friends, the prophet says. When God makes a promise and the opposition rises up, that's only to test whether you've really got the word or not. So when God came to Jacob and says, I'm going to bless you, what happens the next chapter? Esau comes to threaten him. It has to be like that. We were saying with Brother Max when he's locked the keys in the car the other day. It's all as I get. You have a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord and see what's going to happen after that. You know, when you go and testify the goodness of God, your seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. Things are going to happen like that. It has to be like that. It always does. The prophet says, the man that's got good gold doesn't mind going to the touching stone to test whether it's good gold. And friends, to a person who's got the genuine promises of God concerning your life, you don't mind what the devil does. You don't mind what the devil does. It's just going to purify the gold. It's just going to take away the dross, take away all of the things that you didn't need in your experience, all the things that are really hindering you from the fullness of the promise. But it's never going to touch the genuine gold. The more that you smell gold, the purer it becomes. It just separates the impurities from the gold. That's what the prophet says. He says, you see, Peter said, these trials are come to test us, to see what we'll do with it. Amen. When you get the Holy Ghost and your husband is going to run you out of the house or your mother's going to make you leave home, don't give up and go back to the world. Amen. That's only a testing time. So when God gives you the promise, He gives you the blessing, He gives you the call, He starts to do something inside of your life, never be satisfied with anything less. It shouldn't come as an unexpected way. He says, Jacob ought to have known better than that. He says, I like what he said there. I crossed this Jordan with only a staff, and I came back in two armies. I came back multiplied. He should have looked at what God had blessed him with. To say, when I left this place and God spoke to me that He would keep me in the land that I was going, would bring me back to the land of my fathers. When he slept with a pillow, with the stone as a pillow, he says Jacob himself could testify of the goodness of God. He could say, but you know, I went across this same river here just by myself. I'm coming back now with flocks and herds. I'm coming with children. I'm coming back with so much of the blessings of God. He says that situation should not have taken him by surprise the way that it did. He should have been considering, remembering the Lord and His goodness and the things that God had done for him. He says, but when he got into that kind of a condition, he did the right thing. He went to the right place. He went to the Lord in prayer. And he got desperate in prayer. And when the Lord started to come near, like he had many times before, Jacob said, Lord, this time it's going to be different. This time I'm not going to let you go until you fulfill the promise. The other times the Lord had come, and Jacob, yes, he received what the Lord had said. But this time he knew, I can't afford to let this opportunity pass me by without me receiving the blessing. He says, God came down, and he had a wrestling match. When he got his hand on something that was true, he held on until he got the results. Oh, if we could do that, if the church could only do that, if you'd only be convinced that it's right. What's right? Your predestination, your calling, the promises that God has made towards you. Just be convinced that it's right, that God can't lie. And know that it's God's promise and it cannot fail. It cannot fail. He says, but be careful because someone will talk you out of it. Why do you think all of this fake stuff comes in the message? Why do you think God anoints critics and unbelievers to come inside of your life just when God is starting to do something inside of your life? Because Satan wants to talk you out of it. Like he talked these people out of it, Jacob and them. They weren't even expecting the fulfillment of what God had spoken about them. Someone will talk you out of it and say it's for some other generation. It wasn't for us. The prophet says that's not the scripture. That's what Satan tried to do with Jesus. But Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's where the victory was. The prophet says, how are we going to get away from it? It's God's promise. Don't let the devil. He's as slick tongue as he can be. And very seemingly a scripture-read person. He knows how to quote the message. He knows how to quote the scriptures. But he twists it to make something that it doesn't say. And friends, there's something inside of your soul that you know at that time that this is an uncertain sound. This is an uncertain sound. I'll finish off. The prophet says, God is infinite. He's unchangeable. He cannot change. He does it in an unexpected way. But hold on until it comes. Don't worry how he's going to do it. That might be unexpected. Don't worry when he's going to do it. That might take you by surprise. Don't worry where he's going to do it. It might not be where you thought it was going to be. But let it not surprise you that he's answering your prayers. Don't ever get that low in your experience that you get surprised that God answered your prayer. That's what he's trying to say. Just keep holding on to the promise and God, I know that you're true. I know that you're faithful. I know that you'll never let me down. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. Wait for it. It shall not fail. It shall surely come to pass. That's what the scripture says. He says he does it, but hold on until it comes. Don't tell God what and how you want him to do it. He will do it the way he wants to do it. Don't tell him how to do it. Friends, we shouldn't be telling God how to do it. If we want revival here, we're waiting for God to do something. Let's not tell him how to do it. Let's just keep holding on. And when it comes, whichever way that he wants it to come, let's accept it when it comes. But let's be on an expectation that God is going to do something for us. It says, watch, Isaiah was born a prophet. He was in the line of duty when he was there at the altar. It was no strange thing for a prophet to see a vision. He was right in the line of duty, so he wasn't out of the scripture. So he's showing us the next thing. Make sure you're in the line of duty. Because friends, let me tell you one thing. When the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of one another together. You know, if you stay at home, don't expect God to come and answer you there. Because you're not in the line of duty. You're not in the scripture. But as long as you're in the line of duty, as long as you're in the scripture, it may come in an unexpected way, but it's going to come. That's the way that God is going to answer. He wasn't out of the scripture. So he should have been expecting something. Because he was in the line of duty. He was looking at maybe the weakness of his own experience. He was looking at the mistakes that he had made. He knew his lips were unclean. He had spoken things that he shouldn't. But because of the call upon his life, he should have been under an expectation. He said, God's going to do something here to fulfill his promise in my life. I can't do it myself. He's going to have to do it. And he should have been under that. Then he finishes up. He says, Moses was lined up. But it didn't come the way that he thought that it would. He thought, I'll go down there and kill that Egyptian. Then the children of Israel will say, see, he's our conqueror. But it didn't come that way. But he was still in the line of the scriptures. God never changed his mind. Jacob, all the rest of them were in the line of the scriptures when God worked. It was his word. And friends, you and I are in the line of the scriptures. Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. Elijah shall come and restore all things. John, eat the book. We're in the line of the scriptures. And the own personal scriptures concerning your predestined call and commission. You in the line of the scriptures. So you should be expecting something. The prophet says, if we get ourselves lined up with the word of God and hold on to it, what can I do, Brother Branham? What can I do to be lined up with the word of God? Just take it in your heart and believe it. Just feed upon the word. Just fellowship around the word. Don't give room to the enemy to come in and speak. Eve's interpreter speak in those things. He says, so now we find out when Jesus came, when he was born, the Jews quickly disagreed. So they excommunicated him. But that didn't stop him. It goes on just the same. Jesus can't be stopped. Jesus can't be stopped. And Jesus in your life cannot be stopped. You may have setbacks. You have disappointments. You might have 40 years in the backside of the desert like Moses when it seems God is so far away. But God can't be stopped. The prophet says, you can't stop God. You can't do it. Because he's unchangeable. And when he set his heart upon you, that'll never change. When he set his affections upon you, when he's called you to something, when he's predestined you to something, it'll never fail. It'll never fail. And in his time, in his way, in the place of his choosing, the time of his choosing, he'll come and take you from where you are to the next stage. Until he's fulfilled his promise inside of your life. Look back in your own experience, friends. Is that not the truth? Now, there were many times you came to Red Seas in your life. Were there not? Many times people with their papers, they just couldn't work. Just couldn't. Many times in your life, in your health, look, you couldn't go on any further. You already, the devil already thought he had you then. Many, many situations inside of your life. But if you just look back, you'll see that God can't be stopped. God can't be stopped. His purposes cannot be stopped. Jesus cannot be stopped. And if he's called you, you cannot be stopped. The prophet said it's impossible for a son or daughter of God to die. For Satan to take somebody's life before they fulfill the purpose of God. It's impossible. Satan will get you right to where things have got him now, but God will just come and move you once again. He'll come in an unexpected way, an unexpected time, unexpected place. He may allow you to get right to the operating theater and come out the other end, like he did when Brother Ram speaks about that, Brother Grace. The one who, you know, he loved the Lord and he got Oral Roberts to pray for him, got the prophet to pray for him. He left it so long until the doctor said, you've only got one chance in 10,000 of surviving if you have an operation. And then when he was lying there and he was praising the Lord for his life, and then he went into the operation and he came out and the room was filled with the glory of God. And the doctors came and testified and said, there was more than a man in there. And Brother Ram says, you see, God wanted to wean him away from relying on people. He thought Oral Roberts' hands could be the ones to fix my problem. He thought that Brother Ram's visions and gift of discernment could fix my problem. He says, but God wanted to bring him to a situation where God wanted to show him that he would do it for him. And friends, he has his way, he has his time. And when it works out glorious. It works out as something that will be virtue to your own soul and virtue to the souls of other people. And at the time God answers you, after that time you look back and you will testify, that was the best time. That was the right time. That was the right way. He knew what he was doing. There were times doubt came in, times questions came in my mind. I would question and say, but have things not gone out of control? Is God really in control of the circumstances in my life? But when the answer comes, the book of Proverbs says, the answer, when it's fulfilled, is like a tree of life. It's a blessed thing. So friends, let's keep feeding on his word. Let's keep faithful in the line of duty. Let's keep a spirit of expectation. In your own life, in your own calling, expect God to do something for you. Expect him to raise you to the next place. Like the prophet in 57, 58, when you're speaking all the time, he says, I can feel there's something, I can almost touch it. He says, I know there's something that he wants me to know. I know there's something he wants me to experience. He was under an expectation, but it was an unexpected place. He might have thought it was going to happen in a big meeting in front of tens of thousands of people. Or might have happened in the Branham Tabernacle, but it didn't. It was an unexpected time. He was sitting in a tree in the sunshine because there were no squirrels that day. He was in the woods. An unexpected time. He was just looking at his watch saying, I've got about an hour here before I have to pick up the other brothers. Then he started to meditate upon that scripture. And then God came down. Friends, don't you love those kind of things? Like I said, the vast majority of experiences people have are not in church. The vast majority of times God wants to meet you and teach you and lead you and guide you is out there somewhere. You know, he'll do something for you, reveal himself to you in some kind of a way. Because that's the way that he dealt with his people in the scriptures. He knows the place of his choosing. He knows the time. He's got his hand upon your life. He's got his hand upon us here. Let's trust him. And let's be under an expectation for God to do something in his own unexpected way. Let's stand, saints. You know, it's really interesting when the prophet preaches those messages. The main reason that he was preaching those messages to those people was that God had come to them in an unexpected way. They were Pentecostal people. They never expected a Baptist preacher, Brother Branham. They never expected a little short man like that. No, well, speaking the way that he did with his Kentucky grammar. The people never expected that all their prayers for deliverance, all their prayers for revival, God was answering them in that little man. And the prophet had to come to warn them in these messages, say, be careful that when God chooses his way, his place, and his time, that you don't hand it back to him and say, that's not the way that we thought that it should come. And friends, I think it's a real lesson for us. Let him have his wonderful way. He knows what he's doing.
Sing a song, when the Savior calls, I will answer.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, if my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere, oh, listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, if my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. No, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere, oh, listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere, oh, listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Let's sing that song. He knows my name. He knows every thought. I'd really put it to a challenge to you. Now, if you really doubt how real that he is, approach him the right way, just once, and put it before him and say, Lord, if you are real, make yourself known to me. No, make yourself known. You're not testing God, but he said, prove me. He says, I'm real. He says, do things the right way and see how I'll manifest myself to you. Just approach him the right way with a humble heart, not determining to him what he must do, but just say, Lord, make yourself real to me. If you're real, because then I'll worship you and see what he'll do for you.
I have a maker before my heart, before even time began, my life was in His hands. He knows my name. My every thought, He sees each tear that falls and cheers me when I go. I have a Father, He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and cheers me when I go.
Oh, I have an anchor.
I have an anchor. It's in my life. He placed me in this world. My fate will see me through. Oh, He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and cheers me when I go. And hears me when I go.
He's an answering God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's an answering God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. No. I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Oh, hallelujah, He's an answering God. Oh, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Oh, when I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Oh, hallelujah, He's an answering God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, He's an answering God. Oh, when I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
Let's come before Him and pray. Saints, this evening, whatever you have upon your heart, put it before the Lord. Come with an honest heart. The prophet says, no honest prayer will not be answered. Let's come before Him, whatever our petitions. We thank the Lord for answered prayers. We thank You for His goodness. We thank You for all the things that He's done. But let's look to Him tonight. Whatever that's upon your heart, put it before Him. And may the Lord bless as we pray. Father, as we look unto Thee once again upon this day, we thank You, Lord, that since we just asked Brother Max Jr. to close for us, just said Brother David went to see a place today. He said it was quite a good place. It has been offered to us, so we want to go and see it as well. Just around the corner here, not far from Cork Street. He was just wanted to check. We just wanted to check size and different things. But Brother David said it seemed to be a real good place. So let's pray about it. May the Lord's will be done. We just continue to wait on the Lord.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, yes, this Father. Night, Lord, we just thank You, Father. We thank You, O Lord, that You've come, O Heavenly Father. Bring to our remembrance, O Father, Lord, Thine promises Lord. Unto us, O Lord God. Yes, Lord. Father, we pray, O Lord, this night, O Father, that You must tear us up, O Lord God. Amen. Lord, we may keep, Lord, Father, this fire burning, this faith, yes, O Lord God, this trust, Lord. O Father, Lord God, that we may drop, O Lord, Father, any doubt, O Heavenly Father, Lord, any fear, O God, Lord. Amen. And Lord, take You at Your own word, O Father, yes, Lord, and stand on it, O God. The Lord, Your will may be done in our midst, yes, O Father, this day, O God. Lord, we lift up this church, Lord, into Thine yes, hands, O Father, Lord God. Lord, we long, O Father, Lord, for that revival, Lord, we long, O Heavenly Father, yes. Oh, for that unity, for that oneness, we long, yes, O Heavenly yes, Father, Lord God, for the genuine anointing, O Heavenly Father, of the Holy Ghost upon Amen. Us, O Father, Lord. How Amen. We pray, O Father, that You may lead us, O Father, according to Your own will, O Father. Yes, how Lord. We lift, O Heavenly Father, Thine servants, O Lord, into Thine hands, Amen. O Father. The Lord, You may bless them, O yes, Father, Lord God, yes, that You may anoint them with Your word of life, O Lord God. Yes, for Lord, they are the mouth, O Heavenly Father, that Thou hast chosen, O Father, Lord God, for these saints. And we pray, O Father, Lord God, that You may use those mouths, O Father, Lord, that do not be their words, O Father, but Yours, O Lord God, who has spoken to every heart, O Lord God, those words, O Father, that will change us, O Father, Lord, that will bring us out of the miry clay, O Father, Lord God, and set us, O Heavenly Father, high on higher grounds, O Lord, that we may be as pure gold, O Father, before Thee, O God. Lord, grant us Your grace, O Lord. Bless Amen. The deacons, O Father, Lord God. Lord, lead them, Lord, Father, in their calling, O Father. Grant them the wisdom, O Father, Lord God. Lord, if we may pray, commit unto Thee, O Father, this place, O Father, Amen. Lord, that yes, Thou hast Lord. Provided unto us, O Lord God. Oh, yeah. Father, we lift it before Thee, O Lord God. Amen. Lord, if that be the place for us, O Lord God, we Amen. Just ask that Your will, O Father, be done, O God, that Amen. You may pave the way, O Father, for Your people, O God. Yes, even that is gone to be seen, O Father, we pray, Amen. O God, Lord, Father, that You may grant us the spirit of discernment, O Father, yes, Lord God, to discern, Lord, Father, Your own will, Lord, Father. Amen. The Lord, we may accept yes, it, O Lord, Father, Lord, and walk, O Father, in the footsteps of Yours, O Lord yes, God. Lord. The Lord, Your blessings may continue upon us, O Father, Lord God, that Your anointing, Lord, Father, may wait, O Father, for us, O Lord, even right in there, O God, Lord. Amen. Bless us even tonight, O Lord, as we part, O Lord God. Amen. We part not from Your presence, O Lord God, but we pray that, Lord, You will be with us, O Lord God, Amen. That these words, O Father, that have been spoken, Lord, Father, not from a man, but from You, O Lord God. Oh, we'll linger, Lord, in us, O Father, Lord God. The Lord, we may fellowship around it, O Lord God. Amen. Lord, You bless us, O Father, and lead us, O Lord. The saints that be not here, Lord, we'll lift them before yes, You, O Lord. God, Lord. Oh, Lord, we pray, O Father, Lord God, that You may help us, O Lord God, that we may gather together in unity, O Father, Lord God, Lord, yes, not for second assembling of one another, Lord, together, Lord, as Amen. Your word says, O Lord, the Lord, yes. we may enter, Lord, Father, into that holy place, O Lord God, yes. Lord, Father, that Your word, O Father, may be made flesh, O Lord God, in us, O God, grant us, O Lord, Your grace, O Lord, bless yes. the saints that have traveled, O Lord God, Amen. You be with them, O Lord, and we pray that Amen. You may bring yes, them back Lord. Safely, O Lord God, O Lord, with Your fire, O God, Lord, yes, O lighten, O Father, Lord, Hallelujah. That join with ours, O Lord God, we yes. may make a great fire, O God, Lord, oh, to lift Your name high, O Father, and bring Your presence down, O Lord God. Oh, bless us now, O Lord, we pray this, Amen. Our Lord God. Lead yes, and guide us, O Father, we ask, we commit our sisters, O Lord God, yes. even expecting, O Father, Lord, You Amen. Bless them, O Father, Lord, Hallelujah. Strengthen them, O Lord, in their Strengthen walk, O Father, we pray, O God, that as Your time, Lord, Father, may approach, O Father, Lord God, Amen. That Your hands may be there, Lord, Father, to deliver them, Lord, we pray. Amen. Grant us Your grace, O Lord. We thank You, Father, for bringing us back, O Father, Lord yes, God, Lord. And as many that have been away, O Father, Lord, that You've brought us all back in Thine house.
house, Lord. Help to your Father, Lord God, and ready, Lord, to continue on your work, O Father, Lord God, that you have called us unto, O Father. Lead us according to your will, O Father, Lord God. That is our desire, O Father, this night, O Lord. Bless us now, O Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you all the honor, Lord, and the praise in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, brother. Let's sing one as we dismiss. Let's stand, saints, as we dismiss in Jesus' name.
Amen.